Well, Psalm 124, you may have already grasped the text that we're going to look at, verse 7. Psalm 124, verse 7. We could have taken some of the other references that we read. Our soul is escaped as a bird out of the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken and we are escaped. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank thee for the great rescue that was carried out for sinful men when the Lord Jesus Christ gave his life on Calvary, broke the bands of sin. He sets the prisoner free. Though, Lord, we thank thee that many of us experience this great deliverance. Bless us as we think again upon subjects to do with birds, for it's in Christ's name we'd ask it. Amen. The greatest escape. The greatest escape. As a boy, I remember various books of adventure stories. One was Great Escapes, Stories for Boys. And there's something thrilling to read about great escapes. Maybe you've read about the wooden horse. I'm talking about the men in the German POW camp. And they put up the gym apparatus. And inside it, there were always a couple of men, and they put it in the same place, and the Germans looked on, the guards, and they were digging a tunnel, and they would put the soil and carry it away, and they went out through the tunnel. What a great story that is, the wooden horse. I myself, my wife, have visited Colditz on an occasion to see the wonderful escapes from there. Erin Eve, who was murdered, of course, by Republican terrorists later, he was MP. He was had escaped from Colditz. We think of the known as the Great Escape when many soldiers made it out of a German concentration camp. I suppose one of the exciting one-man escapes was a man aged 25 who in South Africa escaped from the Boers. And he went 300 miles in enemy territory. And the Boers put out, I know it was 320 rand, but it was a lot of money, reward for anybody who can get us captured. He did escape and, of course, became the Prime Minister of the United Kingdom. Winston Churchill, I'm talking about. Maybe you never read the thrilling escape story that he had out of that camp there. And, of course, those characters could identify with this picture, this image of a bird caught in a net and it can't get free and it's helpless. And there's many descriptions of that in Scripture. Now, we've been thinking of birds over these weeks and also at the prayer meeting. We thought about nightingales, how God gives us a song in the night. We thought about, of course, rooster, God's alarm clock, to be with Peter. We thought about the raven for a few weeks at the prayer meeting. We thought, of course, for a few weeks about the vulture. The vulture, Abraham chasing vultures away from the sacrifice. Last week, Rizpah chasing vultures away from the corpses of her two sons who had been executed. And we thought about the stork or the brent geese. They migrate and God says the storks know their season. Birds know when to migrate. But God's people don't know when to return. So we've been thinking about birds and I thought about this passage because the picture here is of a little bird that's trapped, but then unlike the stories that I mentioned earlier, great escape stories, this little bird did not earn its freedom by its own efforts. It did not escape the net or the snare by its own ingenuity or by its own strength or power, but they were rescued and set free. And that's the picture, the little bird. It talks there about a fowler. A fowler. Now, it's not talking about somebody gives you a bad tackle in football. A fowler is, in those days, usually a man who was trained and had great skill, I suppose today it's something like a poacher. But they would do it legitimately in those days, and they would catch birds. And birds in those days could be sold. It wasn't so many decades ago that wild birds even could be caught and sold. It'd be against the law today in most countries. But it was a thriving business to capture the wild birds. It may even be doves. It may be birds that could be captured and then sold and kept in a cage as singing birds. Or maybe some birds caught to eat. And of course you think of wild turkeys and other animals like that. Before the days of shotgun, when you have a shotgun it's a lot easier. I remember one Christmas we had no meat there. The way it happened, the missionary forgot to bring meat, so we shot two birds for Christmas dinner. They were lovely too. They were easy to shoot, like a crown pigeon. But a shotgun makes it easier. But long before that, men would use their skill to set traps. It may be a net that would suddenly come down, a net that's concealed. It may be some type of other trap. Sometimes they would get birds that they'd captured and they would train them in a cage that they would camouflage and it would sing and attract the other unsuspecting bird that they're wanting to catch, and then all of a sudden it's caught. It's trapped and it can't get away. But David here in the psalm pictures himself and he said, I was just like that little bird. I was caught and my enemies laid traps for me and I was caught and I couldn't escape. But oh, thank God, my soul has escaped out of the net. The snare has been broken and I'm set free. I was thinking about that picture, thinking about the birds. First thing I want to say is that picture is really one of the major themes of Scripture. You think of the many stories in the Bible of people who were caught in traps and God set them free. God set them free. Lot, by his own sinful desires, he was a believer, but when he looked at the land towards Sodom, he didn't ask, was it a good place to raise children? He said, that's a good place to raise cattle. I'll go towards there. And he set his tent, he leaned towards Sodom, and then he lived right in Sodom. But then God said he was going to destroy Sodom. Genesis 19. But of course Abraham went to prayer, Lord, surely you'll not destroy the righteous. And he went to prayer. Well, you know, there weren't even 10 righteous. But before fire, and Jude, remember our study called it hellfire, descended upon Sodom, what happened? God sent the angels. And it says that they actually took him by the hand. What are they doing? Well, it's almost as if they have to drag him out. Because he's there in Sodom. And that Sodom, and oh, there were other cities as well. Gomorrah was the name of one of them, but there were other cities as well destroyed. It wasn't just the two. Read Genesis 19. And that fire was going to come, and it says, Genesis 19:16, the Lord being merciful unto him, Lot never would have escaped the coming judgment if it wasn't that the Lord reached down and rescued him like a helpless bird. What about Israel at the Red Sea? Were they like a bird trapped? Here's these thousands of people. They weren't trained soldiers. And either side, there's the mountains. Behind them, Pharaoh's army is closing in fast. In front of them, there's the Red Sea. They're trapped. They're like a little bird snared in the wilderness. And of course, the complaints start. Moses, you've brought us out here into this trap. We're going to die. Of course, Moses gave the command from God, stand still and see the salvation of God. And there, when they were trapped in a snare, God broke the trap and they were led through the Red Sea. Another example of the text of Scripture. The text of Scripture, what about Daniel? Oh, he's in the lion's den and he's in a trap, not of his own making. So wicked have laid a trap for him. Anybody prays to anyone else but the emperor. And of course he prayed to Jehovah. Opened his window as usual to look out. He couldn't see it with a natural eye, but he knew that out in a certain direction was the temple. And of course the temple spoke of the place of sacrifice. Of course Jerusalem was where the place where hundreds of years later Messiah was going to be crucified and give his life. And so he's looking towards where he knows Jerusalem, the holy city, is. And he's taken and he's put into a den of lions. Who can escape from such a trap? I'm sure in all the annals of Babylon and the Persians, there never was another case where anybody ever escaped out of a den of lions. But God delivered Daniel. Like a little bird out of the snare, the trap was broken. What about Jonah? That's maybe one of the most dramatic. Jonah, in the belly of a great fish. Who ever heard of that happening? But those 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the great fish, of course it says God prepared that fish. As in Jonah, when you read it in chapter 2, Jonah begins to pray and to cry to God, and he quotes psalm after psalm after psalm. How important it is to learn the psalms and scripture. That's what he did in prayer. He quoted the psalms in prayer. He cried. He called at the very depths of hell. Now, it wasn't literally hell, but that's what it seemed like to him. He cries out. And the Lord heard him. Who ever heard of anybody in the belly of a great fish, let alone being delivered? And there he is, trapped. Now, you talk about trapped. Can you get a more secure trap than the belly of a great fish? And then God broke the trap. And he was vomited out, not in the sea, but right onto the shore, right onto dry land. God delivered him. David, oh, we could go into delivered from Saul, delivered from Absalom, delivered from the Philistines. And the psalmist is able to say in many of the psalms, I was just like a little bird, helpless, weak, not able to deliver myself, but God has delivered me. Great escapes. Jehoshaphat. They were just about to kill him when he cried to the Lord and he was delivered. Again, 2 Chronicles 20, the nation was surrounded, Jerusalem, by the hundreds of thousands of enemies. And what did he say in 2 Chronicles 20? It's amazing how he put it. He said, we are weak. He said, we have no strength. He said, we have no wisdom. Neither know we what to do. So they're trapped. We have no strength. We don't know what to do. But God came and he set them free. Well, you could think of other examples, I'm sure. But every one of those Bible stories that we learn, they are illustrations of the text of Scripture we're at this morning. They are Holy Spirit-inspired illustrations of what it means that God breaks the net and he sets us free and he delivers us out of the snare of the fowler. But of course, the greatest escape is illustrated in this verse. Those are illustrations of great escapes. But the greatest escape, and those stories I've talked about, they're illustrations of a greater escape. The escape of a soul from the jaws, from the trap, from the snare of the bondage of the law, of sin, of judgment, of certain hail, of doom, that we're trapped and we're unable to save ourselves, we're unable to deliver ourselves, but God in grace reaches down and takes us out. Just like a little helpless bird, can you picture it, a little sparrow, and there they are, and they're in the cage, and they can do nothing, no matter how much they struggle, they can do nothing, and someone comes and rips the net, or breaks the trap, or opens the cage, and says, away you go, you're free. That's what it is to be saved. That's what it is to be redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. It's God does it all. The little bird can't do anything. We can do nothing to save ourselves. Those of us who know Christ this morning as our Savior, there was a time when we realized we were trapped. All we could do is cry out for mercy. But here's the great thing, amazing thing. In order to save us, to rescue us from the trap, from the snare, it meant the Lord Jesus Christ did not escape. He did not escape. But he voluntarily went all the way to Calvary. In the garden when they came to arrest him. Do you remember he told his disciples to go away? They escaped, as it were, out of the clutches of the mob that came. I know they were after Christ primarily, but he told the disciples to go away. But he didn't go away. Now he voluntarily, it wasn't that they had the power. No man can take my life from me. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it up again. But yet, in order to set us free, we're saying that in the plan of redemption, there was no escape for him. He chose to do that. But there was no escape. He knew what it was to feel the full force of the fowler, of the Satan against them. And he knew what death was. He went through the pains of death. He went through the suffering that was ought to have been ours. He took the pain. He took the suffering. There was no escape from the cross for our Lord and Savior. And how can we sinners escape? How can any sinner escape? Because the Lord Jesus Christ on Calvary took our sins. Only one way of escape, through him. Let me repeat again. Those stories I give in the Old Testament, those individuals had no way of escape humanly by their own power or skill. The little bird caught in the net, it has no power to escape. And man has no power to save themselves. No matter what any church or any preacher says, salvation is of the Lord. Salvation is only when the Lord reaches down and takes us out of the clutches of Satan and we're set free. We are held captive by Satan at his will. And it's the Lord, unless a stronger than Satan come and bind the strong man and spoil his goods. But thank God for many here this morning, we can say God has done that. And this morning we can sing, maybe not in tune, but we can sing the song of the soul set free. Or can you imagine that little bird trapped, frightened? You ever seen a bird caught? Now you can see even the little heart beating and the feathers, frightening, panic. And all of a sudden, it's free. Can you see it flying up into the sky, rejoicing? Thank God this morning we've been redeemed. And we have been set free by the blood of the Lamb. Saved. Are you saved this morning? Do you know anything about this verse? In Psalm 124 and 7, our soul has escaped as a bird. That's the testimony of every Christian. We're escaped because of God. But, that's the theme of Scripture, God, the Lord Jesus Christ setting us free. But, once we are believers, that doesn't mean that Satan is finished with us. No, he's active. Now, while we will never experience the punishment of eternity separated from God in a Christless hell, yet we must be very alert and careful that we do not fall into Satan's traps. And sadly, as we look over our lives as Christians, we have to say there are times Satan snared us. But again, we thank God in grace he came and set us free. But we ought to be careful not to walk in those places. We ought to watch out. We're not to be ignorant of his devices. And I was going through, there's 68 references, by the way, to snares. 68. Some in the New Testament, most in the Old. And I found in the book of Psalms around four themes. In Psalm 119, 110, he said, the wicked have laid a snare for me. There's the plan. Do you know Satan has a plan to snare us? Psalm 141:9, I read it, keep me from the snares. He's praying. We ought to pray, Lord, keep me. Keep me from the snares. And then, of course, there's the promise, Psalm 91, verse 3, surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler. And then this text here, the promise. Just very quickly, the fowler, Satan. Just going to be brief, Satan is the fowler. Satan is a real, intelligent person. He's a person. And he has skill. He has ability. He's cunning. He's crafty. He's our foe. He's our adversary. He's the slanderer of the brethren. He's the accuser of the brethren. He's a liar from the beginning. And he can tell whoppers. Didn't he lie to Eve? Tried to get her to doubt God's truthfulness, God's goodness. God knows in the day you eat, you'll be like God's. God's holding something back from you. That's still one of the devil's big lies and big traps. Go ahead and do it. Even though God's word says it's wrong, go ahead and do it. Satan is cunning. He's a cunning foe. Now, he has many, of course, you could say, workers that help him. But the devil is active. And he's seeking to lay a snare for you. If you're a Christian this morning, listen. As you go into this week, and even today, this is an absolute teaching of Scripture. The devil is laying snares for you. And you're just like a little helpless, foolish bird. And if you don't look to the Lord for grace and strength and wisdom, you'll walk right into his trap. Because he's cunning. You'll walk in. In the New Testament, 1 Timothy 3:7, talking about election to an elder. And it's saying, that you have to be careful, only those who have a good report of them that were out, lest he fall into, listen, the snare of the devil. In 2 Timothy 2:26, he said the same thing, the snare of the devil. The devil is actively seeking to attack the believer. We need to be alert. We need to be aware of that. Well, what about the snares? Psalm 124, it says here, our soul has escaped as a bird out of the snare of the fowler Satan. The snare, it's a trap. It's a trap. You see, a trap's usually led secretly, or the bird wouldn't go into it. It's camouflaged. Sometimes it's a sort of the dusk, or it's getting dark, where it doesn't see it in broad daylight. Oh, how we have to walk in the light, as he is in the light. Sometimes they'll even use decoy ducks. Of course, that's more to shoot them. You ever seen these decoy ducks in the hunter shop when you go into one of these firearm and fishing shops and all? They've got all the wee things that can blow the sound like a duck to attract the ducks down, or they put a few ducks out, or even pigeons if it's on land, and the birds, oh, they must be safe down there. Down they go, bang. They've flown into a trap. Oh, Satan, we couldn't take the time this morning to go into it. Or leaving seed. That's another one, leaving seed. And the little bird keeps following it, and then straight in, trapped. I happened to be listening, reminded there a few weeks ago, we're listening to a man we used to hear in America years ago. He was a humorist, a believer actually, but he talked about as a young boy, away in the, Americans call the rednecks, living near the swamps and the pigs, running out during the winter, and they'd get them in the summer and all, and they'd call for them, and they'd come out and they'd keep dropping corn, you know, corn in the cob. And these, usually wild like pigs, but they'd keep following. And they'd drop another one, drop another one. Then they got them up near the place where all the men were waiting. Bang, 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 bang. They got them. The pig thought it was getting a free feed. That's the way Satan acts. He offers pleasures. He offers something that appeals. In this case, in the text, it's a bird. It could be some other animal. It's too late. Too late. The pleasures of sin the Bible talks about in Hebrews. So easy to be taken in. What about the fear of man bringeth a snare? The fear of man bringeth a snare. How many, through a lack of courage to stand for the Lord, have got themselves into snares? False doctrine is a snare. Let's turn to one here in 1 Timothy. Just to show you one here that's very interesting as a danger to all of us. 1 Timothy chapter 6. And you know, this snare has trapped many, many a person. This is one of his most successful snares. That's why if you're aware of what the snare looks like, then maybe it'll help us be on guard. 1 Timothy 6. In verse 6 of 1 Timothy 6, but godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare. See that snare? And into many foolish and hurtful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition. The desire for wealth. Now, there's nothing wrong with wealth in and of itself. Some of the most godliest men and women in the Bible were very wealthy. Abraham, David, Solomon. His wealth, all his plates in Solomon's house were gold. Not silver, but gold. Nothing wrong with wealth. But notice it says, are they that will be. In other words, it's that craving, that desire. So don't say this morning, oh, that doesn't bother me because I'm pretty poor. Well, it could bother you because it's that inordinate desire where that takes over everything. And rather than God first and the responsibilities that God has us to do is to make money. That's the snare. Achan, King Saul, Demas, Judas Iscariot, Ananias and Sapphira, into the trap. Satan snared them. To be aware, materialism we call it, materialism. The snare of the devil, there's so many. Peer pressure, I've touched on it a little bit, how peer pressure, especially for young people, that the fear of man is a snare. There's a wonderful book, by the way, I'm sure it's on the internet, you could read it, I'm sure it is, but it can be bought. I think Banner of the Truth still publish it. Precious Remedies Against Satan Devices, Thomas Brooks. As usual, it's about 200 odd pages. Boom, 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 right. If you know how the Puritans wrote, write down all the headings of different ways that Satan sets his traps and then remedies for it. Walk in the light. Walk close to Christ. Look to him for strength. And then you have in our text, if you go back to it just very quickly, Psalm 124, you have Satan, you have the snares, you have the seizure. Our soul has escaped the snare. You see, the little bird is in the snare. It's trapped. Have you ever been trapped? Have you ever got yourself in a situation you say, how did I ever get into this? Well, if you're a believer a long time, you have. You said, why was I foolish? How have I got into this? And he has you. You feel helpless. What will I do? How will I get out of this? Well, thank God there's another point here. Salvation, escape, salvation. Oh, he's talking about here. And it's right to say, even when it's our own making and it's our own fault, thank God God's gracious. And we cry to the Lord, he'll deliver us out of it. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler. And thank God he'll keep on delivering us. No bird of paradise will ever end up in eternal destruction. They'll be out of the fowler's net. He will deliver his people. He'll keep on delivering them. Because he appeared to suffer for his people. You see, it's a wonderful truth. This is what gives us confidence this morning. You see, we'd say we are no match for Satan. But turn over to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. I could spend time this morning, I'm not going to, but you could spend time of all the different traps Satan could lay for us and how we need to look to the Savior. But here's the great comfort. You see, you'd almost be frightened to walk out at all, because the trap can be sprung when we're least expecting it. But in 1 John chapter 3, middle of the verse, for this purpose the Son of Man was manifested. Well, to suffer and die for us, to provide, yes, salvation. That he might destroy the works of the devil. Oh, here's what we do when we're caught and we failed and we haven't kept our eyes alert as we had. Lord, Christ came to destroy Satan. Set me free. Set me free. We'll not turn to Hebrews 2 for time, but it says there, through death he destroyed him with the power of death, that is the devil, to set us free from the bondage. He came to set us free from the bondage of sin. What do you do when you've been trapped? What do you do when maybe through our own stupidity, or maybe not, we find ourselves in a trap? We call to the Savior. Lord, you come into this world and went to Calvary to die so that I would be set free from the trap of sin. So that his power would be broken. Deliver me. Deliver me from the power of Satan. You know, there are people in Newton Ards and they're held by habits of sin. Now, everybody where unsaved is held. But we see it more in the sense of drunkenness. You see someone controlled by drink. You see it among those controlled by drugs. And we say, who can ever deliver that person? Ah, the Lord Jesus Christ came, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall deliver his people from their sins. Christ has power to set them free. Do you believe that? Christ has power to set them free. I love the story of it's been used of ministers before doing it. There was a famous minister who did something similar to a little boy who had a bird in a cage. But the story is told of a sailor many years ago when they used to sell birds in markets and so on in cages. And he got into trouble and he was put in prison for a while. And when he came out, he was walking across London Bridge and he saw a man selling caged birds. This is, of course, decades and decades ago. And he went up with the little money that he had before he went into jail and the little bit you do get, sewing bags or whatever they do in jail. And he bought them all and opened the cages and let them fly away. I says, what are you doing? They're worth money. He said, listen, if you'd have been where I was the last few months, you couldn't stand to see any creature behind cages, behind bars. Couldn't bear to see those wild birds behind bars. I had to set them free. Oh, listen, the song of the soul set free. There are people held by sin. Our session for quite a while has been speaking and discussing possibly having someone who's experienced and is a gift
of evangelism. I do believe the Bible teaches there are those who have gifts in these areas. While we all seek to go out and outreach, and you're welcome this afternoon, but there are those we thought about, someone who could maybe give us a day now and again to go round the doors of Newton Ours to seek to reach people. We're in touch with Chris Killen, as you know, works among drug addicts. We were following and praying for Ballymena, and I'm sure Stephen could tell you more about that this morning, what took place a few weeks ago in Ballymena. I understand there was 150 people were in the town hall. They wouldn't usually go to the Free Church on drugs awareness night. And through Facebook and things, people were contacted. So after discussions with Chris and our session, did sit down with him. We had planned and asked him to do a week, as he's done in some other churches. But speaking to him, and we all agreed that it was very wise. He felt that he's looking at his plans for the future and feels that rather than do a week in an area, to do a day over a longer period, in other words, a day a week, maybe sometimes 2 days a week, to get known in an area, to go round and introduce himself at doors. We're here on behalf of drugs awareness to help. Now, of course, the church's name will be on it, contacts, numbers. He can be contacted. He'll have literature with him to do with our church, with maybe the Sunday school, children's meetings, a tract, as I said, invitation to our work here. And then he can go back in a few weeks to the same houses and speak to them again and seek to have meetings. And of course, using the drugs awareness in the sense to give hope. As he pointed out very poignantly to us, he himself been a drug addict for those years, that they're looking for hope. And we have hope in Christ. You see, we have the message of the one who can set the little bird, as it were, the soul free. And so we did talk to the committee as well. And so it's been agreed that we will be employing, if you like, because it means when Chris is working here, he is an employee of the mission board, goes to various places. He's been in Dungannon recently. Tremendous contacts in hard, hard Republican areas, as well as hard loyalist paramilitary controlled areas as well. Goes into all those areas, 60 of meetings. And we're going to employ him. We'll be paying the wages for that day, the days he's with us, sending it to the board and so on, travelling expenses. And so the committee have agreed to take this on as well. So it'll not commence till July, but we're looking forward to this. And maybe some will be able to help him on occasions. And there will be various meetings arranged. We'll have special testimonies from time to time here in the church. Those, some of you may know of them, Ryan and Nicky, who sometimes work with him, who themselves were into held by drink and by drugs, and they'll be along and so on. We'll tell you more about it, but we wanted to let you know as a congregation the plans. Do pray for Chris. He'll be with us maybe during the summer a couple of days a week, seeking to go round the area and seeking to bring the message that, thank God, you may feel like a bird captured and no way out, but the Lord Jesus Christ can set you free.